Hey, listeners, our friends at drivefaithhome.com help church leaders reach and disciple busy families. Their proven model, customizable templates, and implementation coaching have been used by more than 600 churches of every size and tradition all over the country. They'd love to provide your team with a free assessment and coaching on how your church can quickly and easily implement a customized family discipleship strategy. Learn more at drivefaithhome.com. Hey, listeners, and welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. We are going to be talking today about preteens, and that is something that my guest today and I have in common. So our guest today is Tim Pollard. Tim is the publishing team leader for Explore the Bible Kids. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Chuck. How are you?
I'm doing as good as can be expected under the circumstances. How about you?
About the same.
It's getting harder to answer that question, isn't it? It's one of those, how are you doing?
It really is.
I've heard before, and maybe you have too, that, you know, there's, I don't know if it was a book or what it was, but that phrase that says, stop saying you're fine. Have you heard that?
No.
Because our normal response when someone says, how are you? We say, I'm fine. And you move on. And well, that's not true for any of us. Right. So it's stop saying you're fine. And so I'm trying to not just say fine. However, you know, you also don't necessarily want to just spill all of your stresses on every person who asks how you are, because they really don't want to know.
Exactly. So what do you say instead?
I'm hanging in. Sometimes, like in a work situation, sometimes I'll be like, I don't know, you tell me. How am I doing? Have you heard? What do you know that I don't know about? What's the word on the street? So, Tim, I think you're doing great.
Awesome. Thank you. I think you're doing great as well, Chuck.
We've been catching up a little bit before we started recording about our, you know, different at-home office spaces and some of the weird things. But Tim, every time I get to spend a little time with you, and we don't often get to interact day to day with our work, unfortunately, because I always enjoy my time with you, you and I have a lot of things coincidentally in common.
It's true.
So it's probably a compliment for one of us. Like, I'm happy to have those in common with you. You may not feel the same way, but we both spent time in our childhood living in the wonderful state of New Jersey.
Yes.
Which is a good state to be from, as opposed to being. Yeah. So we both lived in New Jersey. We both have wives named Chris, who spell their name the same way.
That is true.
Who are probably both the better half of our relationships. And then
there's no question about that for me.
We were just both comparing the ages of the children, or some of our children. I have four. You've got two. And we both currently have a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old that we have in the house. Now, are your kids, what are they doing for school right now?
Actually, just this very week, we moved them out of public schools and started them in a private school here in Mount Juliet. So,
wow, okay.
So are that's they been a little bit of a transition for them. So trying to catch up on, you know, some work maybe that they've missed that's different from the work that they were doing at their other school. But
so are they going to school in person or are they doing remote?
They are.
They are. Wow, that's great.
Yes. And that was one of the things that kind of helped us make that decision. So because in the public school area, they were doing a hybrid schedule. So they would go to school 2 days a week and they would remote learn 3 days a week. And it has its challenges.
For sure.
Especially for preteens.
Yes. So are they sixth and ninth grades?
They are seventh and ninth.
Seventh and ninth. Okay. I have sixth and ninth, although our kids are the same age. And so we have our 14-year-old who's in high school is actually at the school, although they have pivoted just this week to do remote learning. So he's home this week. And then our younger one is doing full-on homeschool. So we made that choice early on that we were going to pivot as a family for him, at least just for this 1 year, to do homeschooling. And that's actually been going quite well. But with our preteens, we're going to talk about preteens. And you wrote a blog post recently that was on the Kids Ministry 101 blog, or is. And so, listeners, you can find that blog post at kidsministry101.com, and you can search for Tim Pollard by name, or you can look for the topic of this, his post called Five Lessons I've Learned Teaching Preteens Through the Years. And so we want to talk about preteens today. You have had that opportunity, Tim, to spend quite a bit of time with them. We both have them at home. And preteens can be one of those things that are, it's sort of an emerging segment in kids' ministry, right? We've often been first through fifth or first through sixth grade, and then they go to high school. And there's this time in the middle where these fourth, fifth, sixth grade age kids are maybe starting to feel a little bit old for kids' ministry and yet not quite ready for full-on youth ministry, student ministry. And so we have this space in the middle. And that's a space that for us as leaders can be challenging, or it's something that we can see as an immensely beautiful opportunity to invest in join these kids where they are at this really important phase of life. And I sense that you see it as opportunity.
Absolutely. Definitely an opportunity for us as a church to minister to very specific needs, because the needs are very specific for this age group. So,
and they're unique. And so I want to talk through these five things that you've learned about preteens in particular, and we'll set each one up. But one of the things that that you note is that preteens they're not just miniature adults. So unpack that for us. What do you mean by that?
Well, I guess really the tendency a lot of times for teachers, particularly in a preteen age group, I'm teaching fourth and fifth graders right now in my church. And, you know, the tendency for leaders a lot of times really is to treat them a little older than they really are. Their emotional needs are not as grown up as sometimes maybe we want to project on them. You know, they're in that transition point where they're trying to figure out their place in the world, and they're not grown up. They might want to be grown up. I mean, I can't speak for your 12-year-old, but my 12-year-old, you know, has been grown up since she was seven.
Yes.
So, but they're in that place where they want to be grown up, but they don't really know how to be grown up. So when we deal with preteens in a classroom setting, you know, we want to treat them like they still are children, because they are. Mm-hmm. But we also want to start adding things to their responsibilities to help them to mature and to grow, not just in their relationship with Christ, but just in the way that they interact with other people, because that's something that they're really going to be learning during this growth time. So they're not grown-ups.
Yeah, but likewise, they're not little children any longer. And so we need Absolutely. To find a balance in that, right?
Yeah.
So we need to give them opportunity to perhaps discuss things in ways that younger kids may not, maybe to be involved in some leadership things happening around our kids' ministry to help give them responsibility. What are some ways that we can help these preteens feel connected when they might tend to feel like they're falling in a gap?
One of the things that you just mentioned is exactly that. We give them more responsibilities. We can give them opportunities to minister in different areas in the church. Our church in particular has an opportunity for the preteens to be able to do things with younger age groups in our church during either times during Vacation Bible School. We have VBS for different age groups at different times. So we have like a preschool separate VBS. We have a kids ministry VBS. So, you know, some of those older preteens can participate in preschool Vacation Bible School by filling some of those leadership positions, you know, being a helper in a classroom, giving them an opportunity to slide into that. One of the things that I like to do, even in my Sunday school classroom, is to give them ownership a lot of times of what happens in that Sunday school teaching time. You know, we give them responsibilities to help with the audiovisual stuff. We give them opportunities to, you know, read from their Bibles. And one of the things, you know, we want to give them opportunities to pray out loud. So over a course of some time, that's one of the things that we try to work with them on, building some of those characteristics that are going to be important for them when they do get older.
Yeah. And it can be so important. I love those ideas that you shared that, but I think it's so important to figure out how to engage preteens in your kids' ministry, knowing that younger kids look up to them. And oftentimes we've probably all been in that situation, you know, where the fifth grade boys are in the back of the room and they're not paying attention and they're disrupting things. But I've also seen the situation where those fifth grade boys are in the front of the room and they're leading a Bible reading or a prayer or even an activity or a game where they are really making the younger kids want to be leaders themselves.
Absolutely.
All right. So point one, preteens are not miniature adults. The next one, Tim, in your list is that preteens are changing. So they're in a very unique place where, like as we said, they're not kids, yet they're not adults. They're not quite teenagers and all that, but they're going through biological changes and mental and cognitive changes. Talk to us a little bit about some of the unique changes that our preteens are going through.
Well, one of the things that I really touched on that point is, and you know, a lot of kids in this age group are beginning the process of puberty. So they're going through those physiological changes that are not just changes in their body, but are changes in their physiology, their brain functions, things like that, their abilities to think and to process. All of those things are being affected and affected different ways, whether it's male or female. So, you know, that process is not an easy process because a lot of times they don't even know what's going on. You know, hopefully they've had a parent who's been able to coach them through some of the changes and things, or they've talked about it at school or something like that, where they understand what puberty is. But until they really experience it, you know, it is totally and completely different. So it's one of those things that we have to take into consideration as we're teaching. I think one of the things that I said in there, and because of the changes and they happen rapidly at times, you know, you could literally teach two different children in the same body during an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. As they go back and forth, a little Jekyll Hyde kind of change.
I think one of the things that I always laugh about is, you know, we talked that they're not miniature adults, because they still do want to kind of hold on to part of that childhood. And that really kind of flows into this point too, because when they start to experience all these physiological changes and things that are happening in their body that they really don't understand, you know, it makes them want to revert back a lot of times to those childish things or their childhood, just to kind of capture that one more time, as it were, before they make that transition. So it's one of the things that I always look for. And that's when I talk about, you know, two different kids in the same body. That's really what it is.
Yeah. Well, and even over the course of that fourth, fifth, sixth grade, kids can change a lot in their height, their Absolutely. Shoe size, their voices are changing, you know, all those things that happen during that time period. And really, there's not like a common time that always happens, right? So some kids may be early bloomers, or others a little later bloomers. And so that room full of preteens can have a wide range of sizes and shapes and phases of that process. So we need to be able to speak to all of them.
Sure. I have to laugh because I always tell people I didn't go through puberty till my freshman year of college. because I was really, really tiny. but it is fun because, you know, we would go to the school and have lunch with the kids. And it was always interesting to go in during this lunch period time and you watch these kids as they went from kindergarten to fifth grade. And then you have these fifth graders, some of them, you know, who are shaving.
Taller than you. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's right. I always think of, you know, in the Lion King, the movie, there's that scene where, you know, Simba's the little cub and he's growing into the young lion who would take over the kingdom. And there's that scene where they're walking across the log like a bridge where he is literally growing right before your eyes. Yep. And you see him go through that. And I just, when I work with my preteens, I can't help but think they're Simba on the log is what they are. They're right in that process. Which is not a big part of the movie, but a significant one in that change from childhood to being young adults. So, okay, the next one on your list, Tim, is that preteens are emotional. Let's go there.
Not really sure what more needs to be said about that. Part of that emotionality, though, is, you know, it's because of all those other changes that are happening in their body, the physiological changes, the brain changes. The growth spurts, all of that that is happening, you know, really adds to their emotionality. And they, again, they're a lot of times not even sure how to process that. Mm. But it will lead up to a lot of stress. My oldest daughter really was challenged with a lot of stress and emotional stress going through that period of time. So, you know, it gave us an opportunity as parents just to kind of sit down and talk through a lot of what was happening. Mm-hmm. But, you know, stress is something that's real, mm-hmm. not just for preteens. I mean, it's real for everybody. And I think a lot of times we don't understand the amount of stress that these kids are under mm-hmm. With all of the changes that are happening. You know, there are environmental stressors. There's society stressors, there's friendship stressors, yeah. There's lots of stressors that are happening. And as part of that, trying to hold on to childhood again, they want to revert back to that safe space. You know, I need to go back to my safe place, and I need to find where that safe place is while I understand and try to deal with everything that's happening. And, you know, one of the points that I tried to make in the article was, you know, you really, as a leader, as a minister in those areas, you need to take time to help them decompress some of that.
Yeah.
Because I've found a lot of times in ministry that kids might say things to me that maybe they don't feel comfortable sharing with moms and dads sometimes about some of the emotional things that they're dealing with. So, you know, we need to be honest and be able to have those hard conversations sometimes with those kids and help them to deal with what it is that's going on.
Well, and it's so useful, Tim, all these things, although, you know, we just said preteens are emotional. What else is there to say? The truth is, for us as leaders, we need to remember that when we see, you know, emotions rise and fall within our ministry contexts in this age range, that's normal. And that's to be expected. And we need to understand that these kids are going through a lot and carrying a lot and experiencing changes that can cause them to be all over the place in terms of their emotions. And if we are not aware of that, if we don't have that age appropriate understanding of where our kids are, we might interpret those emotions in a whole bunch of different ways. But it's good for us to be reminded that this is just a phase where kids tend to be maybe a little bit more sensitive or a little bit more easily agitated or whatever. And so we just need to go in with the right expectation.
Absolutely. And one thing that I would just add to that is, you know, as we experience those things, you know, it is helpful for us to always remember that they are dealing with a lot of stuff. And, you know, when we see those things, whether they're acting out, whether they're, you know, crying in the corner. It's a natural part of that process.
All right. Well, the next one on your list is, we've talked about kids' physical change, emotional changes, but you also point out that preteens are compassionate.
That is very true. I've always, one of the highlights of teaching that age group really is that they really do care for the most part. You know, they want to express some kind of compassion, whether for other kids in the class, for leadership, for, you know, whoever it is. I've always enjoyed, I think back to one of the very earliest ministry opportunities that I had was, you know, there was a sixth grade boy that was just, what I always call a tough nut to crack. So he was very quiet, very standoffish. Anytime you had a conversation with him, you got a one word answer, and you know, it was, but when I moved on from that ministry opportunity and left, you know, it was, he was the first one to come up and talk about, you know, how sad he was that I was leaving and things that had happened during that time there. And, you know, so it's just a good reminder that even if they're not showing it, they really are compassionate.
And so because of that, some of our conversations, you know, we may be able to go a little deeper and get personal with some of those things about how do you feel about that? They're still able to acknowledge and process their feelings, although they may not share that openly necessarily.
Exactly.
All right, Tim, your last point that you called out is that preteens are honest. They can be really honest, which is great, right? Because a lot of times we may tend to suppress what we're thinking or not ask the question and just kind of push it down. Preteens don't tend to filter that same way.
They really don't. I think the first word that I chose for this was sassy, but we moved on from that. But I mean, that kind of captures part of what that honesty is. They are honest, but not always in a sassy way. I say sassy because of my own children, but they are really questioning, because all of these other points really roll up into that. Because of everything that is happening, all of those experiences that are coming up, their brain is growing. Their brain is processing information in a totally different way than it's ever processed information before. So they are ready to have some of those deeper conversations that we just talked about. They are ready to do some of those things to help them to process where they're going to fit into this thing we call life.
Yeah.
And as they begin that process, they are really honest about it. You know, the first point that we talked about was that they're not miniature adults.
Yes.
And they are trying to grow into that. They are trying to grow into that adulthood, and they're trying to process through that. And part of that, though, is asking hard questions. We can ask hard questions of preteens, and they can ask hard questions of us. But as long as, you know, we're answering those questions in a way that lines up with scripture and is honest and truthful, you know, that gives them the opportunity to begin to process where they fit. You know, I have amazing conversations with my 12-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they're about things.
They're in a place where their faith is becoming their own. You know, they're no longer just showing up because it's what you're supposed to do and learn this, the basic stories, but they're beginning to understand things in the world around them. Our kids are exposed to things at younger ages in school, big issues that young preteens are having to reconcile with what they're hearing at church and what they're hearing elsewhere in the world. And so the ability you mentioned earlier that sometimes they want to find their safe place. And my thought is, wouldn't it be great if your preteen ministry was that safe place where these kids who are in the midst of change and different stresses and they're asking questions that are genuine questions, if your ministry could be a place that was safe for them to ask those things and know, just like you just said, that the answers they get would be biblically sound and honest. And absolutely. What a great thing.
Well, I would say, you know, one of the things that we try to do in our church, we haven't been in Sunday school a lot since March. So, you know, it's a little more challenging. But one of the things that we like to do at the very beginning of every class is just to kind of chit chat, have an opportunity just to kind of get to know them even a little better. And they begin to open up as the year progresses. But we've got those kids for fourth and fifth grade. So, you know, there's a couple years in there to help to further build those relationships.
Yeah. Great. Tim Pollard, thank you so much for joining us today and for your insight into preteens. Listeners, I want to encourage you to go to the kidsministry101.com URL where you can find the Kids Ministry 101 blog as well as our podcast archive, and look for this article by Tim Pollard, five things that he has learned teaching preteens through the years. This is a great bit to share with those leaders that you have who are volunteers, who are working in this space, so that you as a leader can have conversations with your teachers and volunteers about how to specifically minister in this area into kids of this age. Tim, thank you so much for being here.
It was my pleasure to be here.
Listeners, did you know that Tim's resource, Explore the Bible Kids, as well as Bible Studies for Life Kids and the Gospel Project Kids, did you know that we are now offering free at-home digital resources to help your families engage? Well, we are. So you can get Lifeway Kids content, Explore the Bible Kids, Bible Studies for Life Kids, and the Gospel Project for Kids at-home resources free with any curriculum purchase that you are already making. What? I know, it's crazy. Well, these free at-home resources provide a weekly family worship experience that you can send home, two optional prayer prompts for the week, and two optional activities that kids and families can do at home. You can find information about this free at-home resource, which you probably already qualify to get. You might as well go get it. You can find links that get you into this at Lifeway.com/KMFA, which is short for Kids Ministry From Anywhere. Lifeway.com/KMFA. You'll find strategies there for how you can connect with kids and families from a distance. Whether you connect in person or in the mailbox, the inbox, or online, all that with training videos and more, plus links to get you to the free at-home resources for Lifeway Kids Bible study materials, all at lifeway.com/KMFA. Listeners, thank you for listening. Thanks again, Tim and producer Trey. I didn't say hey today, but thank you, Trey. We appreciate all that you do. Listeners, we'll see you back again soon for another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast.